Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts Lucy Halliden
and Benjamin Halliden.
Do you know what's really exciting, which I was just looking at some emails and things for our International Women's Day event, which we can actually talk about now because it's going to be live. This is live. When's this podcast go live?
This one goes live.
As we travel back from America?
Yes, it will be.
The 11th. So, not long. Which means this event is going to be sold out. So I obviously shouldn't tell you about
it. Thank you to Poo-Poo and everyone there.
No, but it's just to let you guys know that we do try and put on as many events as possible with my coach. And this one in particular is really special because it's with Strava and it's for International Women's Day. It's called Own the Road and it's about women's safety on the roads and just the fit. The idea, I think, stemmed as well from we did a podcast and someone asked us a question about running on your own and you were just like, oh yeah, I'd love it. Like, it's amazing and I love running in the dark. And I was such a 360 answer from a runner mm-hmm. and it was really, so it sparked to do this event. And Strava are going to get involved, Gymshark, MyProtein, loads of female-led brands. And it's great. We're all going to run together. We're going to learn. And yeah, sorry about that. It's going to be completely sold out because it'll be live in 3 days' time. But I thought I'd let you know.
It's for the community though as well, more so than...
Oh yeah, these sort of events, when we do them with my coach, they're solely pushed out to the group, to email lists and to affiliates. Now, obviously when we do bigger events, they will be pushed out to everyone, but you need to be a part of the community to get that ticket. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's going to be amazing. So keep your eyes peeled for more events.
Sick. And on today's episode, we're going to be delving into a task that we often get a lot of questions on when we put up the Q&As. Mm. We thought we'd do a full episode on it because I think it'll be very informative and educational for people and even a good revisit for people. I was speaking to someone about this the other day when it comes to strength training or for training for size, or should I say hypertrophy versus strength training. It's very easy to get into autopilot and kind of just get stuck in the motions and the wheels turn. I sometimes do it with training where I'll just turn up for a strength session and do the same old exercise with the same old rep range. And that's good sometimes to have a maintenance phase and just be kind of ticking boxes. But when you really want to make progress in a specific area, training then therefore needs to become more prioritized, more focused, more specific.
I think what's really, I mean, there's so much information online now, especially with social media, in terms of how do I train? What are my rep ranges for strength, for size? And I definitely got caught up in this when I first started lifting because I didn't really know what I was doing. And everyone was using the word hypertrophy, which is increase in muscle size. But I didn't know what it was. And I still think this is why we do this podcast, to be able to explain to you guys a little bit better and a little bit easier. Now, muscle size is different from strength in that hypertrophy requires continuous muscle use and not necessarily a high degree of force. Whereas muscle strength, so this is when we're dropping our rep ranges, which we'll go into, relies on muscle size as well as its ability to contract and generate force, which requires time and practice. So when people say they're doing a strength block or a strength phase, and we actually do have one of the programs on the app, which is really specific behind the 5-3-1 method. And I remember when I got with you, you introduced me to the 5-3-1 method, which is literally, I was like, you can't go into the gym and just do one rep.
So the 5-3-1 Wendler method.
5-3-1 Wendler method. I was like, you can't just go into the gym and do one rep. You can't do three reps. Like, oh, that's so boring. But when you're lifting such a heavy load for your body weight, it doesn't matter what it is compared to other people. When you go into the gym and you're doing specific strength training and you're doing three reps or one rep and you have like 5 minutes between each exercise, you will actually see benefits over time from following a program. But I would definitely say with strength programming or just strength training in general, you can't not have a program.
What are you training for at the moment?
Everything. Literally everything. Strength.
Okay. Yeah, but what is the, if say, running, for example, take running out the equation, what are your sessions geared up towards?
Muscular endurance, more so at the moment. And strength. I think I'm way more...
Okay, that's what I mean. Is it more strength-based or is it more hypertrophy-focused?
Do you know what's really weird? You just asked that question because you throw me off. I'm working on strength, so I'm trying to increase the weight I'm lifting every week, but I'm not doing strength rep ranges at all, as in I'm...
So you're doing hypertrophy work?
Yeah. But I'm not focusing on building size.
This is interesting, though, because people say, oh, I'm training for strength. And this is where the definitions may vary, because you might be trying to progressively overload with inside the hypertrophy rep range. But like a true strength block and true strength rep range is going to be...
Powerlifter.
Sort of between the 1 to 5, 1 to 6 rep range, where a hypertrophy rep range is going to be more so between the 5 to 30. So there is a really, real small crossover there. So we're going to get a bit more granular into those kind of things and how you can really be specific with either one.
No, I'm sorry. I completely correct my statement that I'm not doing specific strength training. There's only one thing at the moment I want to get stronger on. And not, as in like nothing else. It's just one thing that I'm working on. It's not even, you can't even do it as a rep range.
This doesn't mean that you need to pigeonhole yourself either. You can train for both. You can set sessions up to be training for strength and for building muscle. That's easily done. Well, I say easily done, it's not easily done, but you can set the program up for that, which I think probably a lot of people, when they first start training, kind of do anyway, subconsciously. But we're going to speak to you today about the actual differences, how to set those sessions up, the differences in volume, et cetera, so you can get the most out of it when you're looking to do whatever you're doing. And even for me at the moment, I'm very much focused my time into performance. That goes with running, aerobic fitness, and with strength. So even in my strength session yesterday, a lot of the movements are only 5 rep ranges. So 5 rep ranges on squats, 5 rep ranges on RDLs, 5 rep ranges on bench. So there's a lot of strength elements in there. Not a ton of hypertrophy work, unless it's kind of thrown in as a superset to be more aerobic based. So my training is changed back towards more of a performance and strength element again, just because I'm training for HYROX and a couple of those events.
I think people forget as well how important the strength element to HYROX training actually is. You have to be strong to do HYROX, because more specifically when you're thinking about the first half of the race, which is the sled pull and the sled push, you actually need to work on strength for that. For example, sled push, you're going to be working on heavy squats or an element of squats, whether it's front or back squats. Sled pull, fuck, I don't know, what would even replicate a sled pull? Upper body, your whole upper body rows. Strength. Rows. That's what I need to do, not just practice sled pull.
Pendlay row is a good one.
Yeah, pendlay row. I think general upper body strength as well. Grip strength, like all of that ties in. I think people forget, because HYROX is like functional fitness racing, and it's because it's an hour or more event, it's endurance. People forget that whole strength element in there. But
these ways to also, if you're not too sure what we're talking about, would be to turn up to a bodybuilding gym and watch how people train, and then turn up to a powerlifting gym and see how people train. And then you'll really understand the difference between the two types of training, because they are very different. Or obviously, if you didn't want to do that, you could just YouTube like a bodybuilders and then powerlifters, and you could see how each one trains, because even the way that they would do the same lift will look different. A bodybuilder, a lot of the time, will be controlling the lift for tempo and rep ranges, because you're looking to get more stimulus out of the muscle and reduce the risk of injury. Where as a powerlifter is going to be moving very quickly, they're looking to get the movement from A to B as fast as possible. There's going to be a lot of power enforced. What's that? There's another word that I can't remember when it comes to those type of movements. Not ballistic strength.
Explosive.
Yeah, it's probably the lifts will look more explosive.
I think one of the easiest ways to explain to you guys as well, and this is what I found anyway, because as I said, I did find it really confusing with all the sciencey people, and I couldn't quite understand or grasp something as simple as even like rep ranges. And I think sometimes it can get really overcomplicated in the fitness industry. Now, you've got the three things. So say, for example, we look at the strength, hypertrophy, and muscular endurance. For strength, so this is your power, think heavy, heavy ass lifting. You want to be doing 3 to 5 sets of 2 to 6 reps per exercise, or sometimes one, obviously, if you're doing 1 rep maxes. So it's very, very low rep ranges. For hypertrophy, so we go up a notch, building muscle, think hypertrophy, think building muscle. The sweet spot is 3 to 4 sets of 6 to 12 reps. So you're in that category. And then finally, muscular endurance. Now, this is just being able to go for longer, which, again, quite beneficial for high rots because you tire out. You want to go for 2 to 3 sets of 12 to 20 reps. So they're kind of the three different categories that I think is a really easy way to look at it. So boom, the power, the lower reps, you're building muscle, you go up into the next bracket, and then your third bracket is muscular endurance. And it doesn't mean, as Ben said, like Ben's training is actually, your training's really specific to this at the moment. You'll do like a strength element at the start, and then it'll go into like a hypertrophy element, and then it'll have like a muscular endurance element. You don't need to just, your whole session doesn't just need to be like 5 exercises of 3 reps.
It does if you just want. So if you were a powerlifter, it's more,
yeah,
so.
I'm talking about if you want to do everything.
Yeah, but like this is what I mean. So when people ask like, what should I do in a session? Again, it's very specific to what your end goal is. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to go and do a powerlifter meet, then it's going to look a little bit different. Lucy said the optimal range of hypertrophy is 6 to 12, which is true. But the actual rep range for hypertrophy is 5 to 30. The caveat with that is that you will feel like you're just brain fucking yourself if you go into 30 reps for 3 sets. Like, that is just mentally torturing. And also, you could get the same amount out of just doing 12 reps a lot of the time.
What? But this is what I mean. That's why I think that's really fucking confusing for people. Why? Do you know, if I read that and it was like 5 to 30.
I've sometimes done 30 reps before, and sometimes I just do it because I enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? It's just like kind of push myself a little bit. The other thing that, taking into consideration, I wasn't planning on talking about this in this one, but say, for example, I've got a bar which I could do 5 reps on. I've got a bar that I could do 30 reps on. There's a point in which, with that 5 reps, I could complete the 5 reps, yeah?
Mm.
But I've still probably got a lot more energy in the tank to be able to go beyond that. But the weight is the limiting factor. Whereas if I've got a bar set with 30 reps on, I know I'm taking that to absolute muscular failure with the energy that I've got, because the weight is not the limiting factor anymore, because it's light enough for me to take the muscle just past that point where I'm just absolutely fucking it.
Oh, no, I get that completely. But this is why, so when I first started lifting, and if someone said to me, oh, but you can train anywhere from 5 to 30, my mind would be like, boom, okay, so what do I do? You haven't answered my question. That's more so why I put it into 3 categories for people listening, because realistically, anywhere from 6 to 12 is quite a good...
Yeah, 6 to 12 is where you should be.
But then, because I thought, once you've gone past, like, you've got your strength, you've got your hypertrophy, once you go past, like, that 12 to 15 rep range, it's muscular endurance, and you're more so doing it for building endurance, not necessarily for hypertrophy.
It doesn't mean that you're not doing both.
Okay. I think maybe my brain needs to function in like 3
these
categories.
These are just the definitions of what hypertrophy is. So I think it's in Brad Schoenfeld's book, who's the don of muscular development,
it's
hypertrophy.
Hardest book I've ever read in my life.
I think it sets out in there, it's 5 to 30 rep range. Mm. So that's where it falls into. It's a wide spectrum.
But even like us having like conversation about it, you can see why people find it so confusing.
Yeah,
because
this is where it might change the week to week. So when I was doing my comp prep, I had a coach for my bodybuilding show, and the first week would be 5x5 work. Second week would be 4x8 stuff, I think. The third week would be crazy rep ranges of like, some of them were 50 reps, 30 reps. And the last week would be like 3x12 work. But again, it massively depends on the person. I probably wouldn't set that for someone now, because when you are balls deep into a comp prep period where your body no longer even knows what glycogen is, because you don't have much carbs and your calories are super low and you're doing loads of cardio, going in and trying to do a 5x5 session is like torture, because you just don't have the energy. And this is where the difference between bodybuilding and powerlifting training will come in, because a powerlifter will go in fully fueled, loads of carbs, loads of energy, and a body will be going in for a session probably very depleted, very low on carbohydrates and calories, and not much sleep. And this is where the sessions need to then differ to get the most out of whatever their specific goal is.
Do you know what's really interesting from when you were saying that? Do you know when I did that powerlifting competition? My speed work was really good, but fuck me, I could not run that far. Like, I felt so... My central nervous system from those sessions was so drained. Like, I was only one session a week that I was doing, working on like the powerlifting stuff on a Monday. And then for the rest of the week, anything over like an 8 or 10K, I was knackered. But my speed work like the fast twitch running the intervals, the tempo was actually quite good. But oh my God, you put, so I did not enjoy that at all. That was not for me. That was not the life for me.
This is where it's funny, because if you were to look on paper and you went, here's a strength specific training day and here's a hypertrophy bodybuilding specific training day, we go, oh, I'd pick that one's piece piss. It's only two sets of three reps, and then it's some of the bits on top. The bodybuilding one's like 20 sets of stuff, and there's loads of work in there. But until you've completed, if I looked at a bodybuilding session when I'm a bit tired, I'd be like, I'd choose that all day.
Yeah.
Because I can kind of plod through a bodybuilding session. Going in for a strength session, I have to be hyped up, pre-worked out off my face, feel like my face is on fire, and I've got to really be ready to end worlds. Mm. Because to rip a heavy barbell up takes a lot out of you, energy-wise, and your central nervous system and your immune system. So, yeah, that's where it can look different. Yeah. The two sessions, but the feels way that, like, you experienced.
I was just,
it kills you the next day.
It just killed me for the week. Like, it, the whole, too far, I was taking a break from endurance running anyway, which is the whole 360 point of the powerlifting competition. Glad I tried it, would never ever do that again. But yeah, anything over, 10K, I was like, but even my mind was a bit like, oh my God, I don't even want to do that. And it's just really interesting when you try all those different things.
The reason why we're speaking about these things as well is so that when you go in, sometimes you feel like the next day really tired and you think, I need to take a rest day. Maybe you've just not programmed enough in your training block of that, especially when you're doing a lot of strength work in itself as well. Mm. So I'm just going to then move into training volume. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at a training block, like we said, you'll often notice a difference in the actual training itself. And the volume is specific to that. And the difference with the often those two, say we have those two sessions, strength session and bodybuilding session, is most of the time with bodybuilding session, the most optimal thing to do will be increase an extra set. So I've got two sets of curls 1 week, I want to grow my biceps more, I'll add in an extra set. Mm-hmm. Whereas you don't do that too much with the strength work because it's so demanding on the joint, the central nervous system, the immune system. We're always looking to try and put more weight on the bar. I know it sounds obvious, but that's the main goal with strength training, and that's again how the two differences may look when we look to the scale the volume of either one, which is what you were probably doing when you were doing the strength work as well, in terms of using the percentages to guesstimate where you'd be at for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the percentages were so important. We had a testing week at the very start, and then we base everything off percentages, like even on the app, because we do have, I think we've got two specific strength programs actually. You've got one and I've got one. The reason we did actually add a one rep max calculator on the app is literally just for those programs, because it's actually really valuable to be able to see your percentages, like working off percentages. I quite like stats though and statistics. So when I knew I had a number that I needed to hit, that was quite motivating, whether I hit it or not. Most of the time I didn't, to be honest, fucking hell, it was too heavy. But it is quite nice having a bit more structure and a bit more performance, I guess, completely to your training sessions. Whereas obviously sometimes with bodybuilding, you're waiting to see, or not just like building muscle. you could be waiting a good 3 or 4 months before you start seeing a little bit of progress. So I think that is the enjoyment, I think, out of strength training, is watching those numbers go up. It doesn't matter where you start. You could start with the barbell if someone's new, or 10 kilograms, and then it could build up and build up, and then the progressions won't get as quick.
Yeah, so even marrying those two up with the powerlifting and trying to be a good runner, I think it's hard just because both are really high fatigability and the risk of injury from both is quite high. Especially with strength training, if you look at the injury risk of strength training versus bodybuilding training, it's going to be a lot higher in the strength. Every time I got anywhere near my PB deadlift, injured, back's gone. That'd be me out for like another 2 or 3 weeks again. So it's things that you've got to take in consideration. Even with a warm-up going in for a strength session, you should be warming up for a lot longer because you need to do the warm-up set, you need to build up, you need to prepare the central nervous system, you need to allow blood flow. You can't just rip your PB up from the floor because the muscles just aren't ready for it. Whereas with a bodybuilding session, I can go in, do a couple of extensions, do a couple of working sets on the weight that I'm about to do, go through the flow of the movement, and I'm ready. Mm. You can't do that with a strength session. And on top of that, even with the training that I'm doing at the moment, so I'm trying to optimize my strength and my endurance. With the bodybuilding work that I've got in, which isn't a lot, all I'm doing with the hypertrophy work at the moment is doing the minimal dose that will help me keep a little bit of muscle. Now, that contradicts what I did yesterday, because I put a YouTube video up about I'm trying to lose 40 pounds of muscle. isn't completely true, because I'm trying to lose 14 pounds. Some of it's going to be body fat. Some of it's going to be body fat, but some of it is going to be muscle, just because I'm trying to become more efficient. Someone actually left a comment on, I think, the video this morning, which we can speak about as well.
Is it a nasty comment?
It's not a nasty comment. I just think it was just, where does it say?
People make very strange comments.
You don't have to lose muscle, especially not to run marathons better. And you don't have to lose muscle, but it's my choice. And there's a reason that no bodybuilders are winning marathons. Let's just say that. I mean, to say that losing weight doesn't make you more efficient as a runner would be bullshit. Because if I told you to go and put a 10 kilo backpack on and run, does that make running harder?
Yeah.
Exactly. So becoming more efficient for your sport obviously does help. And that's the thing that I'm just trying to do at the moment. There's certain times where I'll move up and down in weight depending on what my goal is. We see lots of different hybrid athletes do this in the industry as well. So I'm just trying to get the minimum dose at the moment. And quite a lot of people who do strength work will do the same thing. They will just do the minimum dose of potentially hypertrophy work they need to do in order to keep some muscle. Because you can definitely go in the gym and just only do strength work and never look super, super jacked.
Mm. I mean, that comment's really interesting, because to be more efficient at running, facts, absolute facts, you need to be slightly smaller. Like, I'm nowhere near efficient at the moment for running. When I did my 100K, I was 5 kilograms lighter, efficient. High rocks, bulked up a little bit. Marathon, I think I was down like 3 kilos. To be efficient, your body just naturally starts being more efficient for the training. So when you're peaking 60, 70, 80, 90K run weeks with your strength training, you're running that much for a reason. You want to be better at running for your marathon or for your whatever it is. When it gets past those distances, I think up to half marathon, you're pretty sweet. After that, when you are running those distances, your body is going to change. And I think you just need to be okay with that and be like, yeah, I'm going to lose muscle and I'll build it back later when I've got a different goal. I think that's the beauty of being hybrid and trying so many different things. You can absolutely run with a lot of muscle. Mm. People like Nick Bear. Why did Nick cut down? Like, his body went choop for his 2:38 marathon. Then he's gone like this again. Boop. Like, your body fluctuates, and that's the beauty of it.
Look at Ross when he did the swim around the UK. He went like a balloon because he needed to store a lot of body fat to have the energy to do the swims. So our body is a great thing. It's a very adaptable tool with the stimulus that you give it. It will change for certain things. So that's why I'm changing that, yeah. So
you'll learn, but you'll maintain. That's also not saying that. So we maintain, you can maintain muscle, absolutely. But I think when you push into marathons, we always say to people, you're probably just going to maintain where you are. Like, you're not going to get like
even
massive.
Put weight on sometimes. Depends, yeah.
So I went like muscle building wise. Yeah. It does become harder. It's simple fat. That's why my body hasn't, it just maintains unless it's
I shrunk muscle size when I did the marathon, but generally my body holds tissue very, very easily. So the other differences are going to be load change when it comes to strength training versus hypertrophy training. And what I mean by that is, in sort of a bodybuilding sense, is that, again, if you looked at someone who was trying to train for putting muscle on, they're going to be training a lot slower. They're going to be training with tempo. What they're realistically trying to get is more bang for their buck. So if you can get the same amount of stimulus or better stimulus out of a 10K barbell than a 20K barbell, it's a great alternative. Because, again, like I spoke about last week on the Casio episode, is if you've got a steak that's £5 and a steak that's £10, and they're both the exact same steak, of course you choose the one that's £5 because it's got less of a cost. Mm. Same with those. You want to try and mitigate the costs of doing something versus the reward. Mm. And that's what bodybuilders are often looking to do, and why they won't pick certain exercises that just absolutely drill them into the floor when they could choose another one, like leg extensions. They get loads of muscle stimulus growth without the big impact on the central nervous system and the joints and the knees and everything else that comes along with it. So the way that you will then use load as a tool changes. And if you looked at a strength block, like we've spoken about before with the 5-3-1 training, one of the other big things that's going to be used within that is the percentage work. So the way that the 5-3-1 works is it builds up over a 5-week block. You do like 75%, 85%, 95%. So you start on 70, 80, 90. Week two might be 75, 85, 95.
Shot low than that, I think, don't you?
Yeah, it's I'm mixing 80, them up, but it increases up to week three. These are percentages of your one rep max, by the way. And the rep ranges change as well. So some weeks are 5, some weeks are 3, some weeks are 5-3-1. And then you'll take a deload week, bring the weight down, the volume down, the percentage down to allow the central nervous system, the immune system to just settle. And then you'll have a peak week where you will test your PB. and start a new cycle again. So again, the loads through a strength phase might vary week to week, whereas loads of bodybuilding don't really vary that much. Like, Cal, how many times have you varied your weight on a lateral raise?
Yeah, very fucking minimally. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I think I'm still doing the same weight when I started.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. You can still get the same stimulus, and you can make a weight feel as hard as you want it to feel when you were doing bodybuilding training. And that's one of the beauties of that sort of training. But again, that's where the loads are going to be different. And with bodybuilding, you're not always looking to increase the number on the bar. You're looking to increase the size of the actual muscle itself.
With strength though as well, what we did, I remember when we did a strength block, I think it was just after COVID, I think we were like pining to do a strength block or something. All our compound lifts at the start of each session were 5-3-1 percentage strength focus. So we had deadlift, we had bench, squat, the standard three. I also did hip thrusts. I think we did pendlay row in there as well. And that was the first exercise of our session. We spent quite a lot of time doing it. And then we went into bodybuilding accessory work after that session, because I personally wouldn't enjoy just doing sole strength work. I don't think we never have. We've always had accessories in there. Accessories are good for all the little muscles to get those strong, the ones that you don't want to compensate if you get injured and things like that. So having an all-round strong frame. But yeah, we did that I actually really enjoyed that block, and we did get really strong by doing it that way.
Even the accessory work for a true powerlifter, though, often might look different. They might do more dumbbell work. They're probably not spending as much time bothering about lateral raises and leg extensions. Like, they're going to do a different variation, which could be a different variation of squat. So again, that's the difference between someone might do strength, they might do the main work on a barbell back squat, but then the next exercise might be a hack squat because it's closer to the movement they're trying to get better at.
Oh gosh, what's happened to your voice?
Jesus.
I've got some stuff
that was so weird.
Getting deeper and deeper, sound like Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
But as a bodybuilder, might start with back squat, but then they're more likely to go into a leg extension or something like that because they don't need to continue to try and build strength on just that up and down movement. The thing that will differ with that again is how RP comes into play with the two different sessions. RP is going to go through the roof on some workouts for a powerlift or someone training for strength, but a bodybuilder RP might remain quite consistent through the full training block. And again, it can be very subjective with either one. With strength training, the bar doesn't lie. The number that's on the bar is a number, whereas with bodybuilding training, it's with bodybuilding training with strength, with hypertrophy stuff, it can be more subjective because you're trying to build the muscle to see how it looks, which again, some of the aesthetics or the way that they look is subjective to each individual.
Yeah, with powerlifting as well, specifically as a sport, you're doing stuff to better that one thing. Like, I did just bench press because you would not see me there doing a deadlift or a squat at powerlifting competition. I just did bench. But then we do that strength element at the start, and it was really long. It was like at least 45 minutes just on bench. But then we'd stay on bench, and it was like banded. And then it was like working on like specific movements. And then we had lat pull down because that was specific to... So it's really specific in terms of like how the session's laid out, which is really interesting because with any sport, even like swimming, football, you do drills and conditioning for that sport. That is definitely what powerlifting's like. Whereas when you're just doing your own strength and muscle building as a whole, you just kind of, you do whatever you enjoy.
Yeah, most sports are like that though, aren't they?
Yeah, it's
only really hybrid training that has the real differences because you're always trying to train the base foundation to be just ready to then be specific with anything. So you always want a good aerobic base, you always want a good strength base, you obviously want to look good, but then you can drill into any niche when you really need to, and that's where the training will change. So if you've got a marathon goal, the running will uptake and the strength training may downregulate. If we're doing something where, I don't know, we're just going on holiday and you want to be a bit more muscular, it might have an uptake in the strength and hypertrophy work, and the running may take a little bit of a hit because it's too fatiguing. So again, that's where those may change. And again, this kind of ties into the next thing that I wanted to talk about, and it's how often can you train each one. So hypertrophy training, you can train with, I think a lot of people, I want to dismiss this, is a lot of people think that if a muscle group is sore that you can't train it, you can. And that's the thing with hypertrophy training. As long as kind of you've given it a day sometimes, and you even with a little bit of DOMS, you can still then train the muscle group. So with hypertrophy training, you could train each muscle group a couple of times per week, because generally they will recover quicker from that rep range and that frequency. And it doesn't have a massive impact again on the central nervous system and the immune system because they generally stay in a good place. But if you try to do the same with strength work, where your RP is really, really high and you're blasting yourself, like the session that you were talking about before, imagine trying to do that same session back to back. You'll get to the end of the week and say, bury me.
Yeah.
Can you guys give a quick explanation as to what RP is, just in case people don't know the definition?
So it's either rate of perceived exertion or rate of perceived effort. People like to fluctuate between whether you're from the UK or you're American. And it is a real basic scale that you can use to assess how hard you're working on a specific exercise. So if a personal trainer said, I want you to go in, do a run for 30 minutes and I want you to stay at an RP of 7, it's an easy way and a really basic way without using heart rate and speeds and things like that.
Yeah, so 1 being completely easy, you could do it in your sleep, 10 being I physically can't go any harder.
1, walk. 10, you've ran so fast that you've nearly ran into next door. Yeah,
honestly, I don't think I've ever... I pushed to a 10 like once.
You did on that treadmill, didn't you?
That treadmill, Cal.
Good God.
So, yeah. No, I've been at 10 a few times and you physically throw up kind of at, like it's rough place to be. Sorry, I was just going to say before, when you mentioned muscle damage and soreness, the three areas of hypertrophy are mechanical tension, muscle damage and metabolic stress. So muscle damage is just one of those areas that I think a lot of people get quite confused about being sore, and that you physically have to be sore to be seeing progress, which is is not true. It's a bit like sweating, isn't it? We all like the feeling of like a really hard workout and like sweating and doing this, but you don't have to sweat, you don't have to be ridiculously sore. They're just physical things that happen from training that are just, they're just byproducts of training. Like some people don't sweat at all and they get really annoyed, and it's not even that. Some people don't get sore. It's just something to be aware of, that do not dictate your session off how sore you are the next day or how much you sweated during that session, because realistically you also don't want to be that sore. You don't want DOMS that like don't allow you to do anything and continue your training and progressions. So yeah, it's just something to be aware of.
Yeah, the other thing that we just touched on briefly was exercise selection. So how is this going to look different? How is exercise selection going to look different if you are strength training versus hypertrophy training? So do you want me to answer my own question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hypertrophy, we can choose movements pretty much we want. We can go in, and as long as we're choosing a rep range of, like we said before, 5 to 30, you could choose movements that really work for you and that you find you have a connection with, or you have that mind-muscle connection with, or it's set up for your biomechanics and you like generally. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you are strength training specifically for something or a comp or whatever it may be, your exercise selection diminishes to very small because you are becoming hyper-focused on probably three movements, the bench, the squat and the dead. So your selection going into, especially start a session, is very different to someone who's going in and looking to choose hypertrophy and looking to build muscle. So you usually fix on those three movements. There's not as much wiggle room, like I said, especially if you're training for a comp. But as we were just saying before, again, exercise selection differs again. When if you've gone in for your strength session, obviously you're not just doing 10 sets of bench and going home. You're probably going to choose another movement following that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a weak point, which is bench press, then, or say squats. Say squats is your weakest movement and you want to improve a squat. Because some people might say to you, Luce, I really want to get stronger legs. That's a different statement to I really want to get a stronger squat. Because if you want to get stronger legs, you could do squats, a leg press, some lunges and extensions.
Because you don't even have to squat.
That's going
to
get strong. That's going to get strong. Yeah, you don't even have to squat. That's going to get stronger legs. But if you say, Lucy, I like a stronger squat, then that's going to differ to how we do the session setup. Because then you're probably going to do back squats, and then you might do front squats, or you might do a hack squat, and then you might do a goblet squat, and then you might do an accessory work at the end. The last thing you're probably going to do, and what I mean by that is it's probably not even in your session, is you're probably not going to touch a leg extension if you're trying to better the squat. Whereas for someone who's training for size, leg extension's 100% going to be in there.
Yeah, I guess as well, when you're, it's so individual, because if I was squatting, there's different areas of the squat that I know I'm not very good at. So for me, my lower back is not good. So I'd actually have to work on strengthening my lower back to improve my squat. Or some people might struggle with quad or hamstring or glute engagement or the mobility, there's something there. So you're actually looking at a specific movement and then breaking it down and pulling away and seeing, okay, so I need to improve my lower back strength, so I'm going to do some reverse hypers. I need to improve my hamstrings, so I'm going to do some RDLs, because they're all going to help how the squat then performs.
Yeah.
Even, I don't love a squat.
But even look at the seminar that we went to with Hunters, and for his leg training, the only thing he had in his leg training was a squat. I think his leg session was just...
2 sets of 20?
Was that all it was?
That was the main focus. It has
a name. It had build-up sets, but it was just a squat program, basically, he was doing to strengthen his legs. And he would do ridiculous work on it. So that's what I mean. When you're being super specific about what you want to do, you might only train 1 to 3 movements in a strength session.
Yeah, because he's not entering a powerlifting competition. He was doing that specifically to get stronger on the sled push for high rocks.
Yeah.
So mimicking that and then pushing it into a squat. I really don't enjoy back squats. I do them a little bit. I have started weaning myself back into them, but I don't know what it is with them. I don't know if it's the mechanics. The way it hurts my hips, I can't even explain. Like, and I'd rather not be injured from doing back squats when I could do a goblet or a front squat so I can still run.
Yeah, squats are obviously probably one of the more dangerous ones, because I don't mean that, like, say for example, you had a partner with you for both of them. For the bar is heavily, heavily loaded on your back. With a deadlift, it's obviously on the floor, so you can drop. With a bench press, there's not as much load, and if you've got a spot with you, then you're generally okay. But squats, is one where you can incur more injuries. What I would say is, if you just want to build strength on the squat and movement, and you're not doing like a powerlifting meet or anything, you just want to build strength, box squats are actually really good.
I like a box squat. I feel like I like the seat.
Hello. What's a box squat? I've never heard of that.
A box squat.
So box squat.
A box squat is a lot of people just use a bench press. You put a bench press underneath you. And you squat down to the bench, or you squat down to the box. The box is just like the old fashioned way of saying it. But it's a really good way of developing strength through that movement, especially if the bench or the box is at parallel. Because as long as you're squatting to parallel, great. And you can practice that with confidence. And often a lot of the time it helps better people's squatting movement and the execution of the exercise, because the thing that you need to remember with a squat is that it's not just an up and down movement. It's also a back and forth movement. So you should be pushing the hips back and looking to almost pretend you're sitting down in a chair, which is what a lot of people don't do. And when you've got the box or the bench behind you, it automatically makes you do that because you are literally sitting down. Mm-hmm. So boxes is a great way of doing that. But again, the main thing to consider when you've got exercise selection for strength versus building muscle is the fatigability and getting more bang for your buck again, because you don't want to put yourself in that danger of where, if you don't need to, you're just looking to build bigger legs, you don't have to have hundreds of kilos on your back and be squatting up and down and screaming, listening to AC/DC or whatever you're doing. You can just go in and do some leg extensions and get great stimulus and get a great pump from it, and build big legs on leg extensions.
Oh my God. I honestly have not, because it's really weird, isn't it? Back squats are like the god of leg exercises, it's seen. I've not done a back squat in like 3 years, and I'm probably the fittest and strongest I've ever been. Like, it's, do you know what it is? It's because a lot of people's strength is based off how much can you squat? I'm thinking, I don't know. I can do like 90, I probably think, at a push at the moment.
I was quite strong on squats, but.
I used to really worry when me and Ben used to do these strength blocks together, and we're going back like 4 years, and Ben's got so much weight on his back. He's like, can you spot me? And I'm thinking, yeah, sure. I literally can't do anything if you go down though. Like, I'm just there for moral support. Like, I'm just like, I wouldn't have ever been, how would I have ever got that?
I think
back
maybe
up?
The most I got on the bar was 230 for a squat.
Do you know what I envision myself doing? If that was me, I'd be like, squat.
It does feel really weird holding on your back.
I'd feel like my whole body would just go like in half, and then the bar would roll off.
Yeah, some not very nice videos on TikTok and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I don't watch anything like that. It's nothing to do with me. But actually, they can be enjoyable. Just drop the weight a little bit.
Yeah.
Drop the ego.
But that's the difference again with the strength training, is that probably if you're a powerlifter, the last thing you're going in is going, I want to get a pump. You probably want the opposite. You probably never want a pump because you don't want to have that buildup of waste product and lactic acid to where you then can't do anything in the movement. And that's where rest periods differ again. Rest periods are way bigger. You probably go and make a cappuccino in the middle of your session and come back, and then it's still not your set yet. in a strength workout.
You need it though.
Which is why, yeah, you do. But which is why some people find it boring doing strength work, because if you're doing proper strength work, the rest times are like 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes.
That was me. And it's not boring. It is actually, that's a lie. I find it a little bit tedious. I used to sit there for 5 minutes. I'm not very good at sitting still. So I usually rest for maybe 60 to 90 seconds max in any of my sessions at the moment. If I'm sat there for 5 minutes, I get like clickety.
Women can recover quicker.
We are amazing.
So you can take less rest time. That's actually
been fact.
Cited in a few papers. And I think it's due to women's fatigability and also the blood, your ability to generate and shuttle vitamins, minerals, and like recovery, whatever it is, in the blood flow to the muscle groups that I needed within that session. I haven't properly defined that, but that's what the literature kind of gets at, is which is why you can recover better.
And also, women are better at endurance, which is great for us. And guys are more suited to strength and power. But endurance, I'm there for that. I agree. When you get over 30, but also just like your lung capacity, your heart health, your resting heart rate, being fitter for endurance events like marathons and things like that. Like, God, so the world record for the marathon female at the moment, like, oh, it's crazy. Like, absolutely incredible.
So what? Can I ask a stupid question? Mm. Why are men better at marathons if women are better at endurance then?
Guys are all round anatomically fitter.
So what you were supposed to say then is, in terms of a percentile, and this is where, like, even with strength work, so women are generally on average 50% as strong in the upper body as a man, whereas in the lower body they're 66% as strong as a man. So I think what you probably, if you reworded it, would have been, this is me making a number up, but maybe women are 80% as aerobically fit as the average male. Do you know what I mean? So that percentage of what their strengths are in comparison to a guy is much smaller than what the sort of average would be in strength work.
Okay. So is there like a crossover where men are
worse off?
At what point do men stop being? Because Courtney DeWalter obviously will run 250 miles faster than their man can.
She's just one of those human beings that is an anomaly. So because these are all the data that this will be based on is the average person, not some superhuman freak, if that makes sense. There's always going to be kind of outliers to the numbers because that's just the way the world works.
But no woman's ever ran as fast as a man over a marathon distance.
No, I think it's more so I kind of meant it like as the female sex and as the male sex.
As a percentile
to your body weight, to being a woman as a whole. But there are studies on it, like even one here. The first time the gap between men and women shrinks when trail running distances increases.
Yeah.
So the gap gets smaller. As men age, their endurance drops. And as women age, their endurance gets better. It doesn't necessarily mean we are going to completely outrun all the men. It just means as females, we are getting fitter and we're getting better at endurance.
Females' muscular endurance is better as well. So actually, as a woman, you could do a few more sets and a few more reps because the recovery is better. I think it's because you have more type 1 muscle fibers and males have more type 2, which is why we're better with those ballistic strength movements and power movements and things like that.
Yeah, it's just really interesting how the female and the male anatomy and bodies are different, but they're both.
That doesn't mean that you should be training just for that. Like, do a mixture of everything. This where it comes down to, which we finish off with, how can you do both? How can you train for strength and for muscle? So what a couple of modes I've put down is that start with the strength stuff, like we said, focused on the 3 to 5 rep range if you want to do both. Get the strength, get the compounds in first. Accessory work can come after that, but if you want to be more strength-based, then probably the next movement should correlate to that strength movement that you're trying to improve, or might even include more dumbbell-based work rather than cable and machine work and things like that. But if you are more bodybuilding focused, maybe after that you want to do more machine work or do more cable work and get your lateral raises and your tricep things in there. Whereas, again, strength work, more hack squat, more front squats. And then following that, you can, whatever you're doing, do more that the hypertrophy work, the load, the cables, and you can increase the sets week to week, again, to get more bang for your buck in those exercises towards the end of the movement where you're trying to build muscle, but strength will come first. The other way that you can do it, though, is you can also use mesocycles. Mesocycle is sort of 3 to 4 weeks training block. You might want to start with a strength mesocycle, where you really focus on strength, and then the next mesocycle might be a hypertrophy mesocycle, and then you might take a 1 to 2 load, 1 to 2 week deload, and repeat the mesocycle. So you can completely separate them, split them up, or you can do option one where we spoke about strength work, middle bit, play around with accessory stuff.
I think as well, just like the overarching thing is do what you enjoy as well as part of it.
You can't always do what you enjoy, though, if you've got a really
goal. I mean that. Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm just talking about, in general, you should be doing exercise that you enjoy.
The reason why I said I hated the session I did this morning. It was RP 9 out of 10. I came back and felt dicked. And I didn't enjoy the session, but I knew I needed to just get it done because what my goal is at the moment is dictated by that type of training. It's fucking hard work.
Okay, when I say enjoy, because I hate every interval run I ever do. I hate most HYROX sessions that I do because they are so hard. But in general, I enjoy that style and type of training. So if your end goal isn't like powerlifting, you're going to have to do that. And there's going to be sessions you don't love. Anyone's going to not enjoy sessions. I just mean in general, you can't go into every single gym session and have a goal that you fucking hate because you need to enjoy it to an extent, I think was more so my point there. It'd be a waste of time, I think, just to hate every single session you're doing, like move your goals around a little bit. Yeah. I fucking hate loads of my sessions so hard, but you love HYROX. That's an end goal of yours. Some of the sessions are awful.
That's a good thing to know, is that we don't go in for every session and think, oh, love this.
I think I hate most of them.
Yeah, it's like rainbows and butterflies. It's not. I think it's I said on the Cassia podcast, it's the day-to-day is shoveling shit so that you can get to that end point and that end goal. But you've got to be willing to have some sessions where, especially when your goals are big. I mean, if there's no goals in place, train to enjoy it. I sometimes do that where I do really enjoy the bodybuilding work and the hypertrophy work, and some of my sessions will be based on that. And I really do just enjoy taking the sessions a little bit easier and doing some hypertrophy work and enjoying the training for a little bit, because you can't always be balls to the wall and absolutely nailing yourself, because you'll never make any progress. And I think that's the place, especially for strength work, and especially for some hybrid stuff, and especially HYROX stuff, people really get wrong. It's just they're 100 miles an hour, 100% of the time, and they don't make the progress they could make because they're not willing just to take a step back sometimes and have a training block that's in place, which actually allows them to scale. And just like that, you can use the MyCoach app to jump on a training program which does have a build-up in scale, and we have programs which will help you build up to a marathon whilst doing strength work. Or we have programs which are from advanced to beginner for HYROX, which will help you do and compete for that or just train for that at an entry level. And we have specific strength training block and specific bodybuilding programs as well.
Yeah, we really have worked hard on making sure with the program and the coaches that we have on the app over the past 3 or 4 years that we are offering something to everyone. I think that's really important because there are so many goals out there. And the app does a wonderful, wonderful job of it. I think, do we give a discount code on the podcast for the app? Yep. Fucking hell. What is it?
We can put it in the show notes.
We need that. It's like Not So Fit.
Is. Let me just double check.
I think it's Not So Fit.
It's not very good that we don't know it for our own podcast.
No, it's definitely Not So
Fit. We don't talk about it enough, that's why.
Not So Fit, yes.
Yeah.
Not So Fit.
It's Not So Fit.
Yeah, so use that, jump on a program. This is the difference between someone going, oh, I can just watch a YouTube video and follow it. Well, you could do that, but this is the exact reason why we spend so much time engineering programming, and we spent 45, 50 minutes speaking about the difference between strength and hypertrophy training and how you can benefit from either and how you can program it in your own day-to-day to make sure that you get the most out of it.
Yeah, I think one of the things as well, especially for me, I, to stay accountable to things, buying it is quite important.
Oh, yeah.
Like actually,
skin in the game.
But no, but it is. I think being accountable to something, like any race or event or coach, you've got that in there. It's like, I'm doing this. Yeah. I'm in. But you actually get the HYROX coaching 85% cheaper than anywhere else. But
so you can do HYROX or marathons and still be wham.
How you did that at the same time.
Yeah.
I still have a neck though. But hope you loved today's episode. Keep subscribing, keep sharing. We hope you loved Cassia when we had her on last week. It was a beautiful episode. I think we'll do a round 2. And we love you. See you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.